the opinions you love, the history you crave. This is Rant DM Radio.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Lex Podcast. We are just a few days removed from WrestleMania 30. Did the preview show. Gonna do a recap show here. I'm gonna give my feelings on WrestleMania before Raw and after Raw. And we're gonna see how those compare, see if anything changes. I think you're going to be interested in a lot of the things that I have to say. Most likely because it's not what the majority has been saying. Now, I'll give you a short preview. I did think it was a very watchable WrestleMania. I'd even call it good, which I haven't been able to do for a WrestleMania in a long time. But there were certain things that I was expecting as a fan that didn't come to fruition. I thought the show spiraled down after the first half. But I'll get into detail about all of that here in just a bit. And unfortunately, we got some sad news this week about the passing of the Ultimate Warrior. And I'll definitely get into that. Again, like most things, I have a different take on it. And definitely, one thing I want to advise you to do is listen all the way through to what I have to say. If you hear something you don't like, you know, at least hear me out completely. And then turn the show off if you want. But hopefully you guys will be open-minded enough to hear a different opinion on things and all that good stuff. I did want to speak a little bit on the RantEMRadio.com WrestleMania coverage. Big props to everybody who did that and everybody who listened as well. That was a huge undertaking, and it takes a lot of planning and a lot of communication and being on the same page for all the hosts to run through a gauntlet of coverage, most of it live. The only thing that was taped was my stuff. And that was because basically I just couldn't do it live. It was very early in the morning. I wouldn't be able to do it like I do this podcast, you know, without any interruptions. So I did a taped thing, but it still went very smooth. We had some very technical, very minute technical difficulties early on, but everything worked out great. It went, all things considered, pretty smooth, and I just want to congratulate my cohorts, the Wrestling Call-In Show, William Morgan, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, guys did an awesome job, and of course the Rant, Double A, and everybody who joined the post show. And it was just, I think it was like 14 hours of coverage. Just nuts, insane. But we did it because we love professional wrestling. No matter what we say about it, good or bad, we love professional wrestling. And, you know, expect this to happen every year. This is definitely a normal thing that we are going to do. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Lex Podcast. If I can say it right. I hope you enjoy it. I'm going to stop rambling now so you can actually get in and listen to it. I'll be back after the show to wrap everything up. And yeah, enjoy the show. Last night, I think we learned a lot about ourselves. I think that we learned a lot about ourselves as wrestling fans. And I think the overall reception of WrestleMania 30 was positive. I think most people understood what route the WWE was going, for the most part, with one huge exception. I think people understand that there's a changing of the guard, and to be quite honest, I'm surprised at the general acceptance of the casual crowd. When I sat down to watch WrestleMania 30 last night on the WWE Network, I didn't come in with very many expectations. I did the show last week, the WrestleMania 30 preview show, with Wario. And I gave my predictions about the show and about all the matches. That doesn't mean I cared about every match that was going to be on the card. And certainly, some matches carried more value to myself than others. So when I was predicting the outcome of the Divas, I don't even know what you would call it, Battle Royal, I guess, the Invitational, I believe is what they called it, the Divas Invitational, the Vicky Guerrero Invitational. When I predicted the winner of that, I didn't really care. If I was wrong and it wasn't Naomi, doesn't matter to me. But what I said about Daniel Bryan, Triple H, and the rant that I went on a few shows back, and I kind of relayed it last week on the podcast, that I cared about. And that I really thought you had to do the correct way. And of course, I thought my way is the correct way. Like most of us do with our opinions, right? I mean, don't lie. You're the same way. You have an opinion because you believe it's what should happen or what you would expect to happen. And last night, I should have been one of the happiest people in the RantEMRadio.com chat room. Because the guy that I've been following for a long time now, before he was in the WWE as Daniel Bryan, the guy that I went to bat for when a lot of people said, this guy's too small, he has no charisma, he can't talk. He has no mic skills, which I hate, by the way. And there's several words that I and phrases that I wish we could just scrub clean from our conscience, but I'm getting away from the point. The guy that I have labeled as one of my favorite wrestlers, top 10 favorite wrestlers of all time, probably. I don't have the list here, and to be quite honest, I don't know if I could sit down and make the list. He won the WWE Championship at the biggest show in the biggest match there is. But as I watched Daniel Bryan celebrate with the WWE Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship, I couldn't find it in me to even crack a smile. Now, I'm happy for Bryan Danielson. I'm encouraged at where this could potentially put the wrestling business going forward. But to be quite honest with you, it just wasn't built right. Now, it wasn't bad, especially the build with such short notice that they kind of had to slap it together because they realized, uh-oh, the crowd is cheering this guy and they won't shut up about him and they're booing the guy we brought in and we thought they'd cheer and now we have to switch it all around. For that short of notice, I think it was okay. But when you're trying to make a megastar and you're trying to not only make him for that night and make him for the next month, but to establish him as someone that you can make money off of for years and years to come, it needs to be built properly. It needs to be extraordinary. It can't just be good. It has to be amazing. Now I'm going to go through WrestleMania and I'll tell you what I liked and I'll tell you what I didn't like. And I'll tell you overall my opinion of the night in general. But I just want you to think about that as I say this. I'm happy for Bryan Danielson, but I'm also kind of sad that it wasn't how I pictured it would be. It's like I went to the buffet and I ate, right? I had like three or four chips and some dessert, and I'm full. So I'm happy that I'm full, but it was buffet food, so I'm not completely satisfied. I'm full seeing Daniel Bryan win the WWE Championship, but because of the way that everything was put together leading up to his win, I'm just not satisfied. And you can call me a selfish wrestling fan. That's perfectly fine. I understand that. I get that. And I'm not saying that I'm right for feeling this way or even putting as much emotion into it as I have so far in this podcast. But that's just the way it is. One thing I said when I started this podcast was that I was going to be honest. That's why I ask questions from people on Facebook, my friends on Facebook. That's why I ask for questions. Because I want them to be able to ask me honest questions and me give an honest response. I want you guys to get to know me as an individual. A lot of you heard me on the rant as a co-host, and I had a lot of fun on that show. And you got to know me a little bit, here and there, week by week. But this is more of a crash course. So, forgive me if it turns you off that I am kind of sour on the ending of WrestleMania. But that's just who I am. And honestly, if it were 10 years earlier, I probably would have been the same way then. But WrestleMania started out with a pre-show, a tag team title four-way elimination match, and I thought it was a good kickoff to the show, even if it wasn't officially on the show. I know that you have to get the crowd kind of like worked up and ready to go for the rest of the night, but honestly, I'd rather have seen The Shield versus the New Age Outlaws and Kane, or the Diva Invitational in that spot, because I felt that the tag team match was good and those guys worked hard. And I understand a little bit why you might put it on the pre-show, especially when you're talking about them putting over Cesaro and splitting the Real Americans, because you don't want to put too much of one guy on the main show. But it was a good match, a good open. I don't know if I can count it towards my overall opinion of the show, but it was good. And it was off to a good start for WrestleMania 30. And then Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. I thought that we had finally got what a lot of us wrestling fans deserved. I thought the wrestling gods are finally saying, okay, you've suffered enough. You've suffered through the guest host era and midgets and stupid humor. If you can even call it humor. You've suffered through all that. Now here's this piece of gold in Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. That seriously might be my new favorite WrestleMania match of all time. It was absolutely outstanding from every point that I could see. I liked that they worked. I liked that they worked the arm of Daniel Bryan, and they spent time doing that. And they gave the match time. It wasn't just a quick Daniel Bryan roll up pin in 3 seconds and boom, he's off to the main event so he doesn't have to get spent. That was a full-on match, and honestly the best match on the card. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And I thought, okay, we're off to a great start. As long as nothing nutty happens, I think this WrestleMania has a chance to be one of my favorite WrestleManias of all time. And, I skipped over the promo with The Rock and Austin and Hogan. And even though I wouldn't count that as a plus when I'm looking at this, it was okay. It was non-offensive. They came out, they talked, they did their little spiel, and then you pretty much didn't see Hogan again until the segments. And so I was even okay with that. The Shield versus the New Age Outlaws and Kane. It was an okay, if you can call it a match, it was so fast. It was an okay match that I didn't really see the need for it to happen. I know you had to put the Shield in something. I said on the preview show that I'd like to see the Shield do the split and then the three-way match because I thought that could have stolen the show. And even with Daniel Bryan and Triple H, a triple threat match between the Shield still could have stolen the show. And we would have had a very hot start to WrestleMania. Instead, it was a good start still, but certainly there wasn't really a need for it to happen. So that match goes by, and then you have the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and the trophy's there on the side, and the battle royal is happening. And overall, it was a good battle royal. And if I'm going to nitpick, I'm going to nitpick. But it did have some spots that I did not agree with, especially Fandango eliminating Big E Langston, someone I thought would be in the final four for sure. But they kind of dumped them out early, unless that wasn't supposed to happen, in which case, dims the brakes or whatever. But I was actually very happy with the ending of the Battle Royal because they put over Cesaro, who I think should have had a prominent match on the card. But it's good that he got this night, when you count the pre-show, to be put over twice, basically. So that was kind of cool. Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker, which is the number one thing people are talking about today. And here I have a problem. But when I look at it, I don't see where I'm valid in that. And this is one of the very few times that that's happened to me. And if you hear planes, helicopters, whatever, I'm... just like I said last episode, I live below an airspace, so I apologize for that. But I don't think I'm valid in having a problem with The Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. Number one, it's The Undertaker's choice. If this is it, if he's done, which I don't think necessarily that just because the streak is over, he's necessarily done. He could still have a match at WrestleMania. It wasn't like his golden ticket to have a match at WrestleMania was the streak. It's the fact that he's The Undertaker and his entrance. So if he wants Brock Lesnar to end his WrestleMania streak, which, by the way, if you know me, you know I'm not a fan of the streak. So I have no problem with it ending. I think an undefeated streak in professional wrestling, to keep that after you've retired, is pointless. There's no sense in having an undefeated streak in professional wrestling, or at least make such a big deal out of it, if you're going to keep it and not put somebody over with it, because it's a huge gimmick. I don't know if there's anything else that could put someone over like that. But it's got to be someone who needs it, right? Well, apparently, that kind of mentality was not what The Undertaker was thinking. And I don't know why he chose Brock Lesnar. I don't know if they're friends. I don't know if it's because of a UFC connection. I don't know if the WWE plans to push Brock Lesnar and steal the title away from Daniel Bryan and keep it until next WrestleMania. I have no idea. But it happened. And it was one of those things where everybody was saying, and you know, the over-exaggeration of everybody said it happens a lot, and especially in professional wrestling, but everybody, I did not hear one person say they honest to goodness thought that Brock Lesnar was going to end The Undertaker's WrestleMania streak. Not one person. I saw people say they'd like it to happen, but even they couldn't come to grips with the fact that it actually would happen. But it happened. And a lot of people were stunned. A lot of people were upset. And surprisingly to me, a lot of people were very happy about it. Personally, I think Brock Lesnar did not need to end the streak. I don't see Brock Lesnar being a long-term player. It's not necessarily that he's a part-time guy, because the Undertaker's a part-time guy, right? So it'd be kind of hypocritical to go around and say, oh, part-time guy. It's just, even if he stays with the WWE, I don't see him having much longer in professional wrestling to take advantage of saying he was the one to beat the streak. And so I'm baffled right now as to what the thinking was, or it seemed to be out of the WWE's hands, right? It seemed to be The Undertaker's decision. And if it's The Undertaker's decision, who's going to tell him no? But all I know is one thing, is it happened. And people aren't happy about it. And there's a few people that are, but for the most part, people aren't happy about it. And then you get to, I'm going to skip the Divas stuff because it's whatever. Putting a screw job in a match that no one cared about anyways, just whatever. And then the main event. So as you can see, there's kind of a trend. Since the Andre Battle Royal, things have kind of been spiraling downwards with Taker and Brock and the women's match. And it's all been kind of spiraling down. And then the main event happens, which, you know, I didn't want Bryan to win the world championship. I wanted them to draw this out for another year and milk it. Because I think I think there's a lot of money in it. And they have this match, and it's a triple threat match, so I don't want to say it was a cluster, because it wasn't really a cluster, but, you know, they have to be careful of how they work the match, right? They have to... they have to be creative with it. Because, you know, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon are coming down to help out Randy Orton Batista. Okay. You know, that's to be expected. Triple H loses, he comes back and screws Daniel Bryan. So they go through everything, and there's some decent spots, and it's a decent match. You know, not much of a wrestling match, just kind of a brawl. And at the end, Bryan makes Batista tap. Which, hey, that's cool, you know, whatever. But I fail to see at this very moment where they're going to go with this. Because now Daniel Bryan has the championship. And he keeps the championship. If they don't have fresh heels to feed to Daniel Bryan, he's going to cool down like a pie on a windowsill. And they would have blown their load, basically. It's very hard for me to come to grips with right now. It should be a joyous moment, but I'm worried about them blowing their load and killing off Daniel Bryan as a megastar, because he deserves to be one. But Raw's tonight, we'll see what happens. I wanted to get feedback from you guys. And so I asked on Facebook, having a chance to sleep on it, how'd you feel about last night's WrestleMania? And I'm going to read off some of the reactions here. Tony C. said, I feel great. Hashtag the beast. Hashtag the next big thing. Wario says it was a better WrestleMania than they've had in years. Scott says he loved it. Kyle says a great Mania, but I'm still upset. I asked him what he was upset about exactly. He said the card was fantastic and each match delivered, but I can't wrap my head around the fact that Lesnar defeated the streak. I understand it needed to happen to some degree. However, Lesnar... just, I don't know. I can't understand why someone who was such a positive, such a piece of shit would get that honor. Which is a very interesting take, a very strong take, but, you know, there's definitely some credence there. Mikey says, as someone who hasn't watched seriously in a while, I loved it. It was more about the matches and stories than P. Diddy concerts, and the young guys were showcased well, even though Cena won. Ugh. And that's a match I didn't talk about. It was a good match. Good psychology. They worked it well. Probably the best it could have been. Wasn't particularly a phenomenal match, but it was good enough, and it got the job done. So... Tony C. comes back to say it was great that Brock ended the streak. So he's definitely a fan of that for whatever reason. And that's his opinion. I'm totally cool with that. Julia says, I loved it from top to bottom, especially the Cena-Wyatt match. Lesnar is Taker's best friend. Plus, it was a great move. Lesnar is a monster, a bird-squawking monster. And he goes on to say, when you think about it, who had more to gain? If you gave it to someone new, they would have got shat on a lot. It could have been Punk last year, but he held the title for 400 plus days of this modern age. Lesnar was the perfect choice because he is a monster heel, the force to be reckoned with. Heyman's promo will be so good on Raw. So you beat Triple H, you beat Punk, and you ended the streak. What's next? goat is on the menu. And he makes a good point, and I say it is good for the short term. But something of that magnitude, it would make sense to me to push it for the long run, and they didn't. So we go over to the Rant EM Facebook group page, and I asked over there to get some reactions. And Double A says he was emotionally spent, and I don't blame him for having to do not only watch WrestleMania and go through that, but the whole process of the all-day coverage of RantEMRadio.com, which this show was a part of to kick things off, and it went all day, literally from 8 a.m., I'm speaking West Coast time, 8 a.m., I think it was like 10 o'clock or so when the post show ended. And so it went a very long time. Mark says that I was okay with it. No problem with the outcomes of the matches, except for the farce of a Divas match. I expected a bit more and better than that. Oh, and the Shield, Kane, and Outlaws match, that could have gone a little longer. Brian says it was meh about the streak. I was happy to see it end, but it's who ended it that's weird. Sirvasha says, I feel the same. I really thought they put on a great show. I love the sets and the live music, too. As far as the streak, I think I get it. Taker can go out however he wants. Apparently, that's what he wanted. Why I don't know, but I guess I have to be okay with it. Antonio says, my feelings right now is wow. I watched my first Mania when was 17, and now I look and see that the streak has ended, just like a bit of my childhood is gone. When the ref smacked the mat for the final count, I looked at the screen and felt empty. Rage says, I still have no idea. I'm glad the streak is over, but Brock shouldn't have been the guy. Thrilled for DB and Cesaro. Proud of Triple H for putting a guy over. As a whole, I just don't know. But still, it was one of the best Manias I've seen in a long, long time. He goes on to say, I think this Mania left me with more and more questions than answers. I'm really going to have to keep a close eye on things going forward. But if that's what WWE intended on doing, then it did its job. Brian says, if you think about it, the streak was the only thing left that would create a buzz heard around the world. And certainly the world responded and reacted to The Undertaker. Sports websites, news websites, so on and so forth. And so that's the reaction from you guys. And it's a little varied, but for the most part, people were very positive on the whole show. Out of a 1 through 10 rating, I'd probably give, if you're not counting the pre-show, I'd give the show a 7. If you are counting the pre-show, probably like a 7.5. I think there was a lot of good in this WrestleMania, and it's probably the best WrestleMania they've had in nearly a decade. Unfortunately, that's not saying a whole lot, because especially the last three have been really bad. But this is encouraging to see that WWE might be back on the right track. But Raw tonight, I will watch Raw. I will record the second half of this show after I watch Raw. We'll see if my opinions or my feelings, emotions, we'll see if they differ from when I recorded this. And I'm going to ask for your opinions as well, so I'll read those out on the air. So I'm sitting down on Wednesday, April 9th, and I'm supposed to be recording the second half of this podcast where I watch Raw and I see where the WWE is headed after WrestleMania, and kind of compare my feelings, what I felt a few days ago when I recorded the first part of this podcast, to now. But late last night, Triple H tweeted out that he was announcing the passing of the Ultimate Warrior. And at first, I think the natural reaction was, this is too shocking of news to be real. Twitter account must have been hacked. Then it was retweeted by Stephanie McMahon, retweeted by the WWE, and then people wondered if all the accounts got hacked, because it was such a shocking thing to hear. People get very shocked, very upset when they've just recently seen someone or saw someone and that person passes away. But it turned out to be 100% true. The WWE put an article up on their website, and when that happens, I guess it could still be hacking, but you pretty much know it's true. And quite honestly, I can't remember a wrestler or any person, celebrity, have that much of a reaction. I mean, in this day of social media, I don't remember a certain wrestler or even a celebrity that got that much outpouring from people. I mean, everybody, it seemed, was saying at least something. Now, understand, I have a lot of wrestling fans on my Facebook and my Twitter accounts, so that's to be expected for the most part, right? But then you start seeing like sports websites and people you never knew even watched professional wrestling. And they're tweeting and they're putting out, you know, rest in peace, or what have you. And I definitely saw a lot of emotion out there from people, mainly fans, that I didn't know I would necessarily see. Now, I usually don't get emotional about wrestlers passing away. I'm not a super emotional person when it comes to death. Certainly I'd be very emotional if someone very close to me died, but a celebrity or a performer, entertainer, you know, I usually don't get too upset about, but this one struck me. And it's not because of who it is necessarily. I guess a little bit of it is about who it is, because let's face it, people die every day. And a lot of people die every day. And, you know, a lot of people will never know, right? I mean, a lot of people we don't care about, people we've never heard of. I was never a fan of the Ultimate Warrior. You have to understand that I started watching wrestling full time around 97. And so the only thing I really saw of the Ultimate Warrior for a very long time was what he did in WCW, which wasn't anything to write home about. He and the WWE were on bad terms, so they never really showed much of him. I saw the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior, which I thought was a very good DVD, regardless of people retracting it now and so on and so forth. I do believe a lot of those things were true. I do believe he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, even though he says he's very nice to everyone. Certainly, I mean, let's not beat around the bush here. Let's be truthful. The guy was on steroids. And who's to say that he knew how he acted every minute of the day? Who says that he was completely in control of his emotions? I highly doubt it. And I don't want to speculate, but certainly one could believe that the years of steroids could have factored into what happened. Maybe not. I don't know for sure. Autopsy going to come later. But I was just, it never reached that level to me. He wasn't my hero. And I know a lot of people are listening to this and you know, emotions run high. And they're probably, you know, looking at me like I'm very insensitive. But I told you before that it got to me. And the reason it got to me was not because of necessarily who he was or because he was my hero or anything like that. It was what I saw at the Hall of Fame. And now everybody that knows me knows that the Hall of Fame to me means nothing. But I'm glad that fans got a chance to have some closure before he passed away. But what got me was that, and I didn't know this really before, but what got me was that he has two young daughters. And it was obvious that he loved them and that he was very proud of them. He was very proud to be their father. And as a father myself, I can relate to that. As a parent, you think about that kind of thing from time to time. What if something were to happen to me? What if something were to happen to my wife? And it's not a very happy thought. It's not a very pleasant thought. And I try to keep it out of my mind for the most part. Because you can drive yourself crazy thinking about such a thing like that. Well, it's reality now for this family. For Warriors family, it's a reality. Two daughters, father is gone. A wife, her husband is gone. And I don't know how their life has been up to this point. But certainly it was starting to get on a very high stage with re-signing a contract with the WWE. Warrior is going to be in a much bigger spotlight. Money was going to be coming in, that maybe extra money, I don't know. Again, financials, I don't know, so I can't delve into that. But I would imagine what was happening with the Ultimate Warrior was a very positive thing for his family. And I'm sure that everyone was quite happy. It's a very special moment, even though, again, like I said, I'm not a fan of the Hall of Fame. It's still a very special moment. If for nothing else, the fact that the Ultimate Warrior and the WWE had buried the hatchet, and we knew this before. They made action figures, and they've been working on this DVD, and he promoted the WWE 2K14 video game, so on and so forth. So it wasn't necessarily that it was him being honored at the Hall of Fame. It was more so that a grudge that had been lasting for a very long time, very similar to Bret Hart, had been kind of swept under the rug. And I guess all things were forgiven, I would assume, but that's what gets me about it, is the fact that he left a family behind. Now, he wasn't young, but he wasn't necessarily old. He certainly died before the expectant life capacity, whatever. My thoughts are very jumbled right now. But certainly, I think last night proved that he had a very strong support system from his fans. And a lot of people who maybe didn't ever speak of him before certainly spoke of him last night and spoke of him in high regard. So it's a very sad situation, and it's tough to kind of go on and discuss what happened on Raw when it all just kind of seems to not matter anymore. But I'm going to try to do so. I promised that I would do my thoughts after Raw, and that's what I'm going to do. So, Raw started off, and when I'm saying all this, I watched the 90-minute version of Raw on Hulu. I just don't have time to sit through 3 hours of Monday Night Raw, so I like to watch the 90-minute hour that trims a lot of the fat. Started off with Daniel Bryan kind of getting his moment, his celebration, and so on and so forth. And he worked the crowd, and you know, it was great. Triple H, Stephanie come out. They basically say that Triple H is going to get a match tonight for the title, and there's nothing he can do about it, and so on and so forth. And I know I'm going to say that a lot. Again, my thoughts are kind of jumbled. I apologize, but it's tough to even judge the WWE the night after Raw, because this is a different crowd than we're going to get the rest of the year. This is a very active crowd. They want to participate. They want to cheer. They want to be the show. And they certainly fed into Bryan and fed into the title win. And so, I mean, overall, it ended up looking okay. And what they did throughout the night at the end, the main event, where Bryan basically got his ass kicked, and then Triple H had the open pin and the Shield came out to save Bryan. I understand that you have to book Bryan as a sympathetic face, an underdog, but you have to be very careful not to overdo that. And I think they came very close to doing that. Because essentially, even though Bryan overcame a lot of odds at WrestleMania, the injury, the triple threat, where obviously the odds were not in his favor, even with all those, I can't help but think that he looks pretty weak. And I get that that's the point. I get that that's the point they're trying to make. But you have to be very careful. Because if you overdo that, then fans start to say, well, now I want a dominating champion. And I get that Bryan will never be a dominating champion. But I'd like to see them push his technical ability a bit further and use that as kind of a way to say, well, he may not be the biggest, but he knows his way around a ring, almost to the point where he makes everybody else look stupid. But this is the route they're going. Okay, we'll see how long it lasts. I just don't know about the longevity of it. Maybe it does have legs. Maybe it doesn't. The Shield basically doing their complete face turn, defying the authority, defying the orders that were given to them. Cool. To be quite honest with you, I think the Shield offers up some fresh challenges for Daniel Bryan. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon. So maybe in the long run. Overall, I still kind of feel the same about WrestleMania. I'm still kind of waiting to see where the big lead is with having him win. And again, we're going to have to get past this crowd and see where else it comes from. This crowd was very hot for the whole show, so it made it look like $1 million. Paul Heyman comes out and kind of puts Brock over and delivers a speech about how we told you we were going to break the streak and so on and so forth. You know, good there. Everything was fine, engaging. But now it seems Brock is going to go away for a while. And that's one of the issues I think that comes along with Brock breaking the streak, is that he's not there to take full advantage of it. Like, he's going to go away for a while, and he's going to come back and work his one or two matches every other month. And it seems very wasteful. So, I mean, that doesn't really change in my mind. Nothing about how I fell about The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania changed with Monday Night Raw. Other than, hey, great speech delivered by Paul Heyman. That's the usual. I expect that. You know, he's good. You can't really say much else. Cesaro joining Paul Heyman. I don't really quite understand it. I mean, the crowd cheered for it, and that's understandable because, hey, Paul Heyman's a great orator, and of course the smart crowd, quote-unquote, is going to cheer for that. But when you get to the next town, who's supposed to see Paul Heyman as the guy who led the guy to break the streak, and then you have Antonio Cesaro, just Cesaro now, excuse me. You have Cesaro, who was put over like a face at WrestleMania 30, joining this heel manager. I don't quite understand it, to be quite honest with you. I like Cesaro quite a bit. I mean, he's one of my favorite guys. He's been one of my favorite guys for a very long time now. He's always been to me that WWE guy. If they're trying to keep him heel with Heyman to challenge Bryan, hey, that might work out. Otherwise, it just seems kind of odd with me. And don't get me wrong, I think that the pairing of Cesaro and Paul Heyman is very intriguing, very interesting, and something that I personally like because I like both guys and I think they can do a lot of good together. But the way they have it all laid out right now doesn't really make sense to me. AJ Lee losing the title, the Divas title, to Paige last night. I think that made a lot of people happy. And certainly I prefer Paige over AJ. But that, again, that was another thing that was kind of weird. She just kind of came out and she won the title. That's one of those mega pushes that they do where someone wins the title on their first night. But now where do they go from here? Obviously they have some sort of clue, I would guess. But I'm not really sure. And I also thought it was kind of weird because I would have thought Paige would do the anti-diva gimmick when she were on the main roster, but here she is, like, kissing the Divas Championship, which, to me, in a perfect world, that character would either trash it or be cocky about it and kind of say, look what I have. I'm not a diva, but I've got your championship. So again, another very odd thing that happened that wasn't necessarily bad in a sense. It's just kind of confusing and overall uninspiring, just from a sense of looking at long term and next week and so on and so forth. I mean, I don't think AJ could be a face, so obviously there's a problem with that, but I do wonder why they just kind of threw her out there. Not that she's not ready, and not that she hasn't spent her time down in development, but it was just another thing that was kind of weird. John Cena, Big E Langston, and Sheamus versus the Wyatt family. Wyatt family is over, as over can get for a faction, it seems, from this crowd at least. Then we... Again, I'll go back to saying we have to get past this crowd because then we have to see what Cleveland, Ohio is going to do or whatever. And I don't know if they're going to Cleveland next. I'm just using Cleveland as a kind of like a base. We got to see what they're going to do, how they're going to react. Are they going to consider the Wyatt family to be bad guys or whatever? Certainly this crowd, though, was loving them, and we got a Wyatt's going to kill you chant, which he seemed to run with on Twitter. So, but I do want to say something about the feel of Raw last night. It felt different. It felt like there was a changing of the guard. It hasn't felt this way to me probably since 2002 or so. It did feel like everything was turning over, and it hasn't all turned over yet, but it's turning. We're seeing the wheels rotate here. So I'm very encouraged going forward, but again, a lot of the things last night didn't add up to me. And again, I'll have to watch to see where they're going with things. And the good thing is I actually can stand to watch. And so if they keep it like this, and again, I didn't see the whole 3-hour show, so I don't know how much goofiness was on there. I don't know what else was on there, but if they keep it like this and keep the goofiness down to a minimum for a good while, I mean, it doesn't have to stay out forever, but at least while you're changing things up, I think they have some good momentum. We'll say that. So there it was, ladies and gentlemen, the Lex Podcast, episode 6. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you listened. And listen all the way through. And I hope it didn't anger you enough to never want to listen to the podcast again. It shouldn't. It wasn't really that radical of a show. But I know, I understand that emotions are a touchy subject, and that some people can get really upset if you go or cross a line that you shouldn't. Or maybe they think you shouldn't cross that line. But again, I said when I started this podcast that I was going to keep it 100% honest, and I think I did today. So thank you very much for joining me. Don't forget to check out rantemradio.com. That's where this show is housed. You can check out the iTunes feed as well if you prefer to get your podcast that way. If you have any questions, comments, anything like that, you want to agree with me, you want to tear me down, send an email to lexmarston@gmail.com. That's LEXMARSTON@gmail.com. Also, you can follow me on Twitter @the_lexicon to get some musings from me every once in a while. It's mostly food pics, so it's nothing too important. But yeah, join me on Twitter if you can. If you're a part of that, cool. I've been thinking about doing a Facebook page, but I don't know if it's a good idea. If you think it's a good idea, let me know. If you think it's a bad idea or whatever, just don't care. Just don't respond, and I'll take the hint. And that about does it for today. Thank you again for tuning in, for downloading, and all that good stuff. Once again, I'm Lexicon. Thank you for listening. See you later, folks. We'll be right back.